Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's really terrific to have you company for another episode of the show. Now, I'm recording this on a Thursday, which means I'm in the studio. So wherever you are, whether you're out walking the dog or driving the car or doing something else, just listening along, I hope you're really well. And it's really important, this conversation I want to have with you today, because it's all about team. And you know, we know that as business owners, building and leading a great team is going to be critical. The ability to work with people and achieve goals through people is a key and core skill that we've got to learn to develop. Now, even if you say, well, hang on, Jesse, I just want to focus on my dentistry and I just want to do that, you go, great, that's awesome. We need to build a great team who can take the admin burden off you. Equally, if you're the type of practice owner that wants to scale up and replicate yourself so you get out of the practice, again, we've got to build a great team to support you with that. So no matter what sort of practice you want to run, whether it's a small practice, a large practice, or anything in between, learning to work with people, learning how to build teams, learning how to lead teams is really, really important. And there's a couple of things I just want to think about for a moment, and that is, you know, if you're trying to run a great business, one of the questions that I think is worth asking yourself is, how can I get an outsized advantage for my business? And one of the answers to that is going to be, how do I build a team with great people and how do I keep those great people? Because we know when we keep great people, our productivity remains high. When we turn people over, our team turns over, productivity dips. So retaining your key team members drives your business results. It improves your bottom line. It gives you more freedom and flexibility to do the kind of work that you want to do. And ultimately, that brings a lot of joy and happiness to you. So being able to retain your key team members is absolutely critical. Now, if we think about this for a second, we've got to then understand, well, if we want to retain our team members, perhaps it's worthwhile thinking about, well, what do team members actually really want? What do people want in a role? And I think, again, really, really important to understand that. And there's a couple of lenses or frames that you can think about that through. You can look at the Tony Robbins six human needs framework, or that particular lens where he talks about certainty and variety, significance, connection, growth, contribution, and so on. We can talk about, you know, models by Daniel Pink around intrinsic motivation. Alfred Adler's got some models. But the one that I really like to talk about is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you think about this for a second, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, most of us would have heard of it over the course of our years. It's based on, you know, a hierarchy of five needs. And at the bottom of the hierarchy, it's shaped like a pyramid, are the most basic needs. And at the top of the hierarchy are the, I guess, the uppermost and most esoteric needs. So at the bottom of the pyramid, we're talking about physiological needs. We're talking about things like food. We're talking about things like shelter. We're talking about all of those sorts of things. So, you know, warmth, et cetera, the ability to rest. When you're thinking about safety needs, we're talking about security. We're talking about, you know, keeping away from harm. Above safety needs, we've got our third level, which is around belonging and connection. It's love, right? Love and belonging, very, very important. As human beings, we all crave that sense of connection. We all crave that sense of being loved and loving others. And above that level, to the fourth level, is really all about self-esteem. And that's, again, about that feeling of accomplishment, making sure that we feel like we're moving in the right direction. And at the top of that, we have self-actualization, which is achieving one's full potential. And if you think about Maslow's hierarchy, the two most basic needs, safety needs and physiological needs, are again described as basic needs, whereas belonging and connection and esteem needs are described as psychological needs, and the self-actualization is around a fulfillment need, right? So if we think about Maslow's hierarchy, it's really useful to understand that if there's human needs based on Maslow's hierarchy, how can we match the facets of a role to meet as many of those needs as possible? And what's really interesting is what I've observed is most people think that, you know, to retain people, you just got to pay them more, pay them more, pay them more, pay them more. And to a point, that's absolutely true. But money is important. There's no doubt about it. But after a certain point, money does not become the number one thing. There's plenty of stories of people leaving a role for lower pay elsewhere because they perceive that's going to offer them something else. And there's also plenty of stories of people staying in a role for lower pay when they've had a nice juicy offer dangled in front of them because they happen to like things about their existing workplace. So let's unpack that and let's think about that in a little bit. For the purposes of this explanation, I'm going to group together safety needs and psychological needs. When we think about that from a team perspective and as an employer or an employee or a team member perspective, you know, those psychological, I beg your pardon, those physiological needs and those safety needs are met really through the paycheck, right? The job itself, you know, the paycheck that people take home, they can pay their rent, pay their mortgage, put food on the table, educate their kids, whatever it is, right? So money is very, very important. But as I've alluded to already, it's important up to a point. And when you start looking at the other levels of Maslow's hierarchy, other factors contribute to team retention. So when it comes to that sense of belonging and connection that Maslow talks about, that really relates to how do I create a great culture in the practice? How do we create purpose in our practice, you know, clear visions and missions? And how do we build great relationships so that we create that sense of connection and belonging within the practice and they feel like they're part of something that they really, you know, make a difference to, right? So that's, again, really, really important. Beyond that, up to the self-esteem or the esteem level, that's really where we're looking at how do we, you know, encourage people to learn and grow and provide feedback around that. So it's about advancement and feedback. Again, really, really important. I'm going to come back to those in a minute because there's I want to linger on those topics for a second. But then if we talk about self-actualization, really what that means is that the team member has the opportunity to be their best self by working at your practice or under your leadership. Now, I'm going to say to you that maybe most people go to work and they don't get that, you know, highest level of self-actualization. And if you do, that's awesome. But at the very least, we want to be able to meet the physiological needs and the safety needs. We want to be able to meet the needs for belonging and connection as well as self-esteem. And if we happen to achieve self-actualization, awesome. That's great. That's terrific if you can do that. But at the very least, let's get these other needs met. I did mention a moment ago, I wanted to linger on the topic of feedback and advancement. And in particular, I want to talk about feedback because here's the thing about feedback. Feedback can and should be a two-directional thing. It can and should be both given and received. And it's really important to understand that when you think about, you know, our perceptions, you know, there are going to be things that we know about ourselves that other people know about us as well, you know, things that are out in the open, right? And equally, there's going to be things that we know about ourselves that are not known to others, you know, things that we keep to ourselves that are a bit hidden, right? Those are our private things that we don't necessarily feel the need to share. But equally, there's going to be things that are known to others that are not known to ourselves. And this is really important. And this is where we have blind spots. And feedback is excellent at identifying blind spots, right? So this is the thing I really want to talk about, blind spots. And it reminds me actually of a story of blind spots. I'm sure you've driven a car at some point in your life. And if, like me, you've driven a car, then you've probably also had something in your blind spot that you didn't see and then it came out of your blind spot and maybe gave yourself a bit of a fright. You know, like, oh gosh, I didn't see that pedestrian there or I didn't see that other car or whatever it is. Now, I remember having a blind spot episode of significant proportions, shall we say. It was 1995. I remember it well. I was a first year out dentist and I was working at a Navy base on the Mornington Peninsula in Melbourne called HMAS Cerberus. And I was down at the base there and a couple of my uni friends were coming to visit. And that particular Navy base is a little bit out of the way. And so I agreed to meet them in the local town, a town called Hastings. Hello to all the people at Hastings. And we met in Hastings and they were going to follow me back to the Navy base in their car. So I'd drive, they'd follow. Anyway, it was a beautiful sunny day. It was really blue skies, lovely, lovely day. And I had the radio on. I was happy, you know, jigging along in the car, doing my thing. And I was so happy that as I approached a railway level crossing, I didn't see the lights flashing. And what's more, I didn't see the freight train in my blind spot, which is a big thing to miss in a blind spot when you think about it. And as I was crossing the railway lines, you know, totally ignorant of what was happening around me, I got the fright of my life because the train was bearing down and it honked its horn. And anyway, I got across the railway line safely and I'd given myself quite the fright, of, as you can appreciate. And my friends, you know, had been watching this whole thing unfold, right? They had been seeing me driving along. They'd seen the train. They'd seen the, you know, level crossing lights flashing. They saw me go through and nearly get collected by the train. And I'd pulled up on the other side of the railway tracks, A, because I'd given myself quite the fright, and B, I didn't want to drive off and leave my friends not knowing where to go. And when I got across and stopped, they pulled up behind me and they tore me a new one. They ripped into me. Are you an idiot? You trying to kill yourself? Don't make us watch that. Da, da, da. That, honestly, they thought I'd been just skylarking around. And they found it incredulous to believe that I'd not seen the train, right? But it was so obvious to them, but it wasn't obvious to me. So the purpose of feedback is really to identify and examine blind spots, things that might not be, you know, immediately obvious to those in the situation who are doing the work. So I want to talk a bit about feedback. And I guess from the point of view of delivering feedback and then receiving feedback, if you're going to deliver feedback, I think it's really important, particularly if it is negative feedback or let's say an opportunity for improvement, in inverted commas. I love that phrase, don't you? It's an opportunity for improvement, Jesse. In other words, you're trying to tell me I've stuffed up, right? But if it is feedback of that nature, shall we say, again, please remember to give it in private, okay? Give that feedback in private, praise in public, and chastise in private, very, very important. But it's also really important that you show people, you know, why this feedback is being provided, show them a pathway of how to do better, and make the feedback about the action rather than the person, okay? So as the expression is, play the ball, not the man. And so I think that's really important. If you're in the position of giving that feedback, take into account those things. Now, if you're in the position of receiving feedback, and I think it is important that as business owners, we do get feedback from time to time. I think it's really important that we do get that honest appraisal, and we've got to create the environment for that to occur. Then really, when it comes to feedback, you know, there's a couple of ways you can view feedback if you're on the receiving end. You can see things as your responsibility or not. Equally, you can see feedback as an opportunity to grow or a threat where you're starting to feel like you might be, I don't know, getting attacked or whatever it is, right? But what happens is if you feel that your feedback or feedback that's been given to you is either not your responsibility or a threat, typically you tend to fall into this area which we call the DBJs, which is where you deny, you blame, you justify, and then you quit. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. Denying is basically saying, look, you know, no, that's not what it is, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, just basically saying, no, that didn't happen. Blaming is, you know, making other people wrong so that you can save face. And there's that whole expression, when you got a finger pointing out, you got three pointing back. Justifying or making excuses is about, you know, oh, that happened because da, 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 da. And quitting doesn't necessarily have to be a big storming out session or, you know, slam the door. It could be just not providing that discretionary effort anymore. Now, you might recognize that in yourself, or you might start to see it in other people, right? And equally, if feedback is given in a really positive way, and people see that feedback as their responsibility and an opportunity to grow, even if it is an opportunity for improvement, shall we say, then typically what you want to do is thank that person for caring enough to give you that feedback. You want to acknowledge the feedback, so you repeat back to them, so you know, you can actually test your understanding. They get to hear that you've heard them. You're going to clarify things. If you're unsure about things, ask some questions. And then, of course, you're going to make the appropriate changes, right? So again, feedback is an opportunity to grow. It's an opportunity to develop new skills. It's an opportunity to take ownership and accountability and responsibility. But ultimately, it's an opportunity to make sure that you don't have blind spots. Because one of the things I've learned about blind spots from that train episode is that if you don't see those things and you do get collected by the train or whatever the situations at work, that can seriously hurt you, right? That can seriously hurt you. You know, obviously in the train situation, it can probably kill you. But even in the workplace, you know, if you're not getting that feedback, if you've got blind spots in your business, in your leadership style, in the way you deal with people or patients or team or anything of that nature, then that could absolutely hinder your ability to grow the type of practice that you've always wanted. So having a culture that promotes open and honest feedback allows you to have some awareness about how other people experience you. And I think that's really, really important, because you've got to remember that, you know, the people's experience of you is dictated not just by the stimulus or the incident, but how you react or respond to that, you know, stimulus is essentially how other people experience you. So getting clarity about what other people's experience of you is like is one of the key things to becoming a better leader. And as I said at the outset, if you want to have a practice of any size or shape, we've got to learn to be able to work with people and through people. And that means we've got to become the best version of ourselves, be the best leader that we can be, bring out the best in other people, and so on and so forth. So I hope you find this episode helpful. It's a little bit tactical, a bit granular, but I hope if you can absorb this, start thinking about Maslow's hierarchy, remembering that, you know, we've got these different needs according to Maslow's hierarchy. And the way to meet those needs from a physiological and safety point of view is money. The way to meet the needs from a belonging and connection point of view is about culture, purpose, and relationships. You know, we spoke about the esteem level of the hierarchy through feedback and career advancement, which we spoke a bit more about feedback. And then, of course, self-actualization is about being the best version of yourself in that practice because of the practice itself or your leadership. Now, again, you may or may not achieve that highest level of Maslow's hierarchy for every team member. Awesome if you do. But at the very least, let's get those other levels ticked off. And here's an interesting little distinction for you as well. I think this is worth saying. Is most people think that money is the only thing that people care about. The reason people come and ask for pay rises is sometimes a pay rise is exactly what they want, but other times it's just that they're not feeling appreciated or connected or that they're growing and they can't quite describe that or they can't articulate that. And so they think that a pay rise will make everything better. And so they put a band-aid over that feeling with money, and we pay more money. And sometimes as the business owner, we grumble about it and we think, oh, they only want money. And so it's important to remember that money is only one of the reasons that people come and work with you. Important one, but only one. And so as you construct your offers, as you construct your terms of employment, meet as many of these needs on Maslow's hierarchy as you can, and you'll find that your team stick around. They stick around, they're happy, they're productive. That helps your bottom line. As I said, it gives you greater enjoyment because you see other people achieving and so forth. So again, I hope you find that episode helpful, and I look forward to seeing you next week on the Savvy Dentist Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.